Welcome to Seeing Your Inner Brilliance, the podcast that brings big dreamers and high achievers together, creates a safe space for us to really be real, raw, transparent, and authentic with each other, not only about our dreams and the amazing things we are doing in our lives, but the personal growth journey that it takes in order to be that person who brings our dreams into fruition. I am so glad you're here today. And I'm your host, Charlsley Childers, a self-worth and confidence coach specifically for big dreamers and high achievers. Imagine that. And today's episode, it is a super special one. And yes, I feel like I can say that about so many, if not all of these episodes. But this episode in particular, there is something so magical and so special about it. I am joined by my friend, Zach White. He has a mechanical engineering background. He went to a super stellar college. He has done incredible things for his life, not only in the achievement side, but then also in the impact side. Yes, you're really going to enjoy hearing from him, but our conversation in particular is one that is so special because we are tackling a topic that many of us can relate to, the addiction of achievement. Because we live in a society that glorifies busyness, the busy badge of honor, and constant productivity, and it's to the point where it's often at the expense of our well-being and fulfillment. Sometimes it's hard to see that. But it can certainly be. And what happens when the thrill of doing becomes overwhelming, or we get attached to the productivity and feel like we need to be productive in order to be valuable, and productivity becomes our sole measure of worth? What happens then? So get ready to dive in as Zach and I explore the dangers of getting caught in the cycle of achievement addiction and the toll it can take on our health, whether that be mentally, physically, or emotionally. But don't worry, because Zach and I are also going to talk about strategies for reclaiming the sense of balance, joy, and true fulfillment in our pursuit of goals. Because as high achievers, it's not about unbecoming this high-achieving person, right? It's about doing it in a way that is truly in support of us and that is truly getting us to where we want to go. So whether you're feeling the pressure to constantly perform or you're seeking a more sustainable approach to productivity, this episode is for you. Get ready to break free from the cycle of achievement addiction and embrace a life of fulfilled productivity. Zach, welcome to Seeing Your Inner Brilliance. I am so, so excited to talk to you today, not only because I just feel this natural flow and chemistry and ease between us, and oh my goodness, nothing lights me up more than a seamless and beautiful conversation, but also I really respect your work and what you're doing now. And then I also really resonate with your story of how you got here as such an ambitious, at one point in time, very determined to climb that corporate ladder. So welcome to the show.
So happy to be here, Charlsley. And I feel seen by you. I love your energy so much. And not only your inner brilliance, but inner beauty as well. It's just a pleasure to be here. So thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and thank you for those kind words. Oh my goodness. I feel seen. So, so funny. So tell me, take me back a few years to you going after the bigger salary, you climbing the ladder one step at a time, one ladder step at a time, whatever that actually looks like and means. But where were you in this space? You're ambitious, you're driven, you went to Purdue, you obviously have an education, you obviously have goals and desires to do big shit in the world, for lack of better words. Yeah. What did it look like for you?
Well, like you said, I graduated from Purdue with my mechanical engineering degree and came out into the real world and landed this great job with Whirlpool Corporation. They have a leadership development program for engineers that I was selected for. It was their top talent intake program, this rotational program, and everything going my way, Charles. I was like, yeah, you know, just like my mom said would happen, right? I work hard in school, get the good grades. I was valedictorian high school, did great at Purdue, and life was just moving right along to the, you know, the big two-story house and the white picket fence, right? And I got married right out of college to my college sweetheart and got to work. And it's exactly what I see in so many, you know, engineering leaders who I work with and coach, but it's really everywhere, these top talent driven, success minded people. And we just get in, we just put our heads down and get to work. And the way I describe it at the time, I would have not known it, but I can look back and I'd say it this way. I only had one strategy for success, and it was just work harder and keep getting smarter. It's like, you know, work hard, put in the hours, grind it out, go hard. And if you don't know what to do, just keep studying, figure it out on your own, work harder, get smarter. And it worked in school, so why wouldn't it work in my career? And the really tricky part and the addicting part, Charles, is it did work. I did start to see success. You know, I got a couple of promotions. I got a lot of recognition and accolades from my bosses and peers. But it was only 5 years later that all of that came crashing down. And I can tell you more about the story, but it ended pretty badly.
Oh my goodness. I am totally lit up and just buzzing inside because you said two so powerful words that totally sum that up of grinding. As ambitious go-getters who are driven, we know we are hardwired for amazing things. We are destined for success, whatever that looks like. We are hardwired for that. And so we grind and we grind and we grind. And a lot of times we love the thrill of grinding because we are so capable of doing it. And it's so natural for us that it evolves into an addiction, a literal subconscious addiction that you were speaking to. So just so beautifully said.
Yeah, you're right. And addiction's it's a powerful word, but it's the right word for what I was experiencing. And you know, the plug got pulled for me when I came home from a work trip. I had been in Tennessee for a week and I was working nonstop. I don't even think I talked to my wife the entire week. I was literally in the factory from dawn till dusk every day. And I got back to my home in Michigan from that trip. And I came in the house expecting to greet my spouse. And instead, I walked into an empty house. And on the kitchen table, there was a note written by my wife that said, "Hey, this isn't working. And I think we need to end this," and started the process of us getting divorced. And just a few months later, I'm sitting in an attorney's beautiful conference room, this big wood table. And for her, it's just another day at the office. But for me, this is the lowest point of my adult life. It's the last place I ever wanted to be. And just looking around this room, wondering, how in the world did my life end up here? You know, I'm getting divorced. I was depressed. I was embarrassed. Just like, how did this happen? You know, I was the achiever. I was the guy who was going to get everything I wanted. I was going to be so successful. And I would have traded all of those promotions and the pay increases and the accolades for that moment to just not happen. It's like, if I could just escape this, I would give it all back. But I didn't know how. And how do you go forward from here? And it was a really dark, dark place to be.
I can imagine. I can imagine, especially thinking about it from your story and for so many others I've heard, we have all this external evidence. So not only do we have this natural drive to keep going and keep grinding and keep doing and keep climbing and keep achieving and keep accumulating these accolades and amazing achievements in our life, but then we also have the external evidence to back up and support that what we're doing is working. However, in your life, there was a very dramatic shift for you, and it was a divorce. It was a divorce. And I have chill bumps running down my legs. I can cry just like the happiness. Like, we don't want that. We don't want that for ourselves.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. I have actually two questions. I'm curious, from an internal world standpoint, what was that like for you? Here you had been achieving, you were on your way, you were maybe in a lot of eyes, you achieved the traditional form of success. You were doing it. And then what did that do for your internal world? And then I'm curious, how do we, from where you are standing now, of course, hindsight is so beautiful, where you are standing now, looking back on that version of Zach, what advice would you give him in the midst of the accumulating, the achievement, the doing and the grinding, so that wouldn't maybe have to deal with this breaking point?
The truth is, Charles C., that I was not in touch with my inner world at that time. Yeah, as a coach now and having done years of incredible deep work, both in my own healing and recovery, and now to train and teach and coach and help others, I see that gap. But at the time, I was not in touch with that. And so what that really felt like to me was a numbness because I did not understand how to process what was going on. And I wanted to solve the whole situation with my IQ. I would, this whole idea of being an engineer, and I built my whole identity around my intelligence and my ability to be smarter than other people and solve hard problems. And all of that lives in this world of ideas and things and objects. And it's not about emotions and people and the human side of life. And so I bumped up against a huge gap in my personal development at that time. And I could not solve the divorce problem by reading more books. I couldn't solve the depression problem by thinking harder about what I wanted in life. It wasn't about that. And so the years that followed that rock bottom, I mean, grinding my face along the floor of rock bottom is what it felt like, really was a deep exploration of getting to know myself for the first time all over again. And I hired my first coach, as well as working with a therapist during those months and years that followed. And it's some of the most transformational work and time that I've ever had in my life. And so, in terms of the inner world, I just didn't know. I wasn't in touch with that part of myself. And I think we take for granted sometimes that, oh, it's me. I know me. Well, really? Like, do you? Have you done the work? Because it's not that simple. We go through life at a very surface level. It's easy to, at least. We don't all, I hope. If somebody's hearing this, that's not you, but it was me. And so that's the truth. I really just didn't understand. And when I did start doing the work, honestly, it felt like it got worse before it got better. You're just unpacking all of these huge misses and failures of my life and creating meaning out of that and then reconnecting to vision. Before the divorce, I had these huge goals and this big vision for my life and everything that was going to happen. And as soon as the divorce happened, it just like poof vanished. Like no more vision. I don't know where I'm going. I'm lost. I'm confused. I can't even see to the end of today, let alone where I want to be in 10 years. And as the healing continued, I saw myself able to now start thinking about my life in longer term time horizons again. But it wasn't until almost 2 years later that I actually rewrote a new vision for my life long term. Which was something I had done I was really big into that before the divorce, and I just stopped doing it because I felt so lost. So that's the first piece. Here's the advice, though. If I was going to look back and say to, 21-year-old Zach and 23-year-old Zach and what all these things going on, here's what I didn't realize. Your burnout, it's not just the rock bottom moment. Everybody talks about burnout is like when the divorce happened, when I'm at rock bottom, like that's the burnout. But burnout doesn't just mean that moment. It begins the moment that you start burning fuel faster than you're filling the tank. And that began for me in my marriage, in my health, and in my career way before any of those big, bad, nasty consequences happened. But I was blind to it. And the reason I was blind is because we all look at what we're doing and asking, is this good, bad, right, wrong? Am I doing the right things? But burnout's primary causes aren't what you're doing. Like, it's not that I was working hard. Achievers love to work hard, and you can work hard and not burn out. That's fine. It's that I was not doing all of the things that keep me healthy, whole, balanced, energized, and renewed. And so those are the two insights for me. It's like, pay attention. Burnout starts way before you think. If you're burning energy faster than you're filling the tank, you've got a problem. And burnout's not caused by what you're doing. It's caused by what you're not doing. And we need to look between the lines if you really want to understand why your life is headed the direction it is.
Oh my goodness. This connection between us, this conversation is so divine. Just the awareness that we are bringing to the table. We are allowing ourselves
to see ourselves where we fall into this, because this is a commonality amongst, it's this dichotomy of being ambitious, a high achiever, a big dreamer. We do have to figure out this balance. And so the fact that you and I can lean into this and awareness around that is just so, so beautiful. That is so powerful to help someone navigate through the portals, or maybe even hopefully prevent the burnout, or prevent the big, you know, external thing, the divorce, the significant weight gain, the loss of job. And I feel compelled to share two things and chime in, Zach, but yes, chime in. So the first thing I feel compelled to share is that when we are suddenly, let's see, stopped in life. Let's say for you, it was a divorce. For me, it was this really just sudden, I had like almost a Moses in the burning bush moment where I was like, wow. I'm called for more than my corporate job and I have to leave right now. I cannot go on another day in my corporate job. And the more days that I actually continued working my corporate job, the harder it physically got for me. And so when we're in this space, it is very, very normal and natural for us to make an external change and thinking that that is going to solve our problems. So I thought that because I, you know, was feeling this way about corporate, that corporate was the bad guy. So I dropped my corporate career like it was hot. It was like, okay, forget that. I, you know, am immediately changing it. I'm immediately solving it and figuring it out, right? And so it is very common for us to move to a different city, to switch to a new job, to jump into a new relationship, to quit one dream, start another dream, all of these external changes in search of the internal longingness and belonging. I mean, going back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, going back to that connection and that love and that belonging that we desire. However, we're searching for it on the externally when it's really found internally. So that's the first, and there's no shame in that. We all have our own journey where we have to figure this out, right? You got a divorce and thankfully it sounds like that was it. But sometimes there are so many of these external changes and these breaking points and these burnouts that we revisit. And then the second thing I really wanted to highlight, something that you said actually really, really struck me to my core, is as big dreamers, high achievers, ambitious go-getters, we're driven, we do so much. It's all on the external, you know, the checklist, the projects that we work on. So a really good question to ask ourselves, I feel like, that would maybe have helped slow you down and prevent the burnout, or a really good question to ask ourselves is, are we doing as much, or I would say way more, for who we are internally and filling our own cup and in pouring into ourselves? Are we doing more of that than what we are actually physically doing inside of us? Does that make sense?
Mm, absolutely. You know, I like the simple concept that life flows in this direction. It's being first, then doing, then having, and then giving. You know, you can't give what you don't have. You don't just have things if you don't do something to bring it into your life. But the doing flows from a place of being. That's why we're human beings, primarily, not human doings or human havings or human givings. It's like, this is it. So when you start with that reality, what you said is 100% true. We as achievers live in the doing box. Do the work, show up, grind it out. You said checklist. Charles, that's like my crack cocaine. I love a good checklist. Come
me
on,
too.
Give me a good checklist, right?
So, I have one right here that I'm waiting to check off.
If you see the video, I got mine right here. So that world of doing, it's not that it's bad, but to your point, when we seek to create a new experience of having, I want to have more happiness. I want to have more friends. I want to have more money. I want to, you know, we want to create change around having. And when we seek to do that solely through our environment, our external world, and changing that, but you don't do any of the internal work to change your being, your mindset, your values, that sense of purpose, knowing clearly your vision, like really getting deep into within who you are and shaping and developing and growing that, Well, it's only a matter of time before the, you know, the hype or the honeymoon phase, whatever you want to call it, essentially when the body conditions to the new environment, which will happen, then you're left with the same mind. Nothing really shifts. And so I would say the maybe coachy phrase for this is we need to become more conscious. We need to actually recognize that if you don't change on the inside first and have an inside out transformation, then you'll be in a constant rat race or loop of needing to change your external world to ever have anything new. And the kicker, and anybody who's ever felt a sense of addiction in their life knows, you keep having to raise the bar every time because you can't just go for the same level of adrenaline as the last time. You've got to amp it up one level. And then there's where those glorious flameouts really happen, is because it doesn't last. And when you get into the being side, what's so cool about that is it can be just as rewarding without doing anything. And as an achiever, that's a really bizarre thing to even say, that I can be just as happy doing nothing as doing the work that I want to be successful at. But that's to me the ultimate place for achievers to get to. It's like I can be all of myself while I'm doing my best work and love that and be passionate about that. But I can also be all of myself at the beach, sitting there, staring out over the amazing expansiveness and abundance of the ocean and do nothing. And that's just as meaningful and impactful. So if you're the kind of person who sits on the beach alone without a book, without a journal, just in silence, stillness, solitude, and that freaks you out, like I'd be bored out of my mind, or like I need to do something immediately, then you've got some inner work to do. Let's just put it that way.
Oh my goodness gracious. This conversation is absolute gold. Just pure, magical, delicious gold, if I could eat it.
I like
So,
delicious gold.
yes, it's when we are whole and solid in who we are, regardless of what we're doing, regardless of how many check marks we have on that to-do list, as much as we love it, regardless of how many accomplishments we've done this week, how much. That's where I really got tripped up, because I had been doing and doing and doing, grinding and grinding and grinding, doing all the things that I was conditioned to do, that I thought I needed to do, right, to get to that white picket fence moment. And I was attaching, I didn't realize this, but I was attaching my identity and my self-worth. So if I wasn't productive, if I wasn't checking off things, then I felt like poop about myself. I was super critical of myself. I would just get really down, and it would, yeah. So it's like I was good if I was behaving good, if I was moving at the speed that I wanted myself to move in. And then I was bad if I wasn't moving at the speed, or even just going on vacation or watching a Netflix show, watching a movie that I wanted to watch. I would sit there and watch the movie and beat myself up the whole time, which that's not good either.
You know, it's interesting, this dichotomy what you're describing, and I feel this so deeply. Like, on the one hand, I wholeheartedly believe that every human is of infinite worth. Like your value in life as a human and your existence, there's nothing to prove to anyone. Just by being alive, your worth is infinite. And when we identify with that truly wholeheartedly, it's like, okay, I don't need to earn anyone's approval or any, that's one piece. At the other hand, there's this reality that I have not yet become all of what I'm capable of becoming. This idea of potential and what I'm capable of bringing into the world and the impact I want to make. And this is, let's be honest, I want to be freaking successful. Like, I want to make a lot of money. I want to make a huge impact. I want to change a ton of lives. I want to coach amazing, people, and I want to give like crazy. Those two ideas feel like they're in conflict. It's like, well, wait, Zach, how could I be of infinite worth if I still don't have the capability? I'm still not able to be that VP of engineering I want to be, or I'd be the coach I want to be, or start my business. I don't, or I tried and failed. I'm a failure. Whatever it is, like, we get wrapped up in that. I think when you start to realize these are absolutely both true, to hold this paradox in your mind and recognize it's not that one's right or wrong. It's not like you go Zen and just sit on a rock of infinite worth until you die. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm also not saying you need to hustle and grind to prove to everybody that you're worth something. And they're both true. And when you really buy into that, they're both true. You can work as hard as you choose to work. And there are some wise choices and some that'll lead to burnout. It happens. And it won't impact if your worth and value in life is infinite or not. But when you know that you're of infinite worth, it gives you that sense of permission to take a breath and realize that it's okay to not work on the 4th of July and go have the barbecue with your family. And you don't have to get that promotion this year if it means trading off all the things that matter to you with your kids or for your health or whatever. It's okay. It's okay. And in fact, the more you give yourself that permission, what I have found, what my clients have found, Charlsie, I'm sure you can sell stories too. You actually end up getting bigger success. It's the craziest thing ever. It's like as soon as you stop grinding so hard, stuff starts coming to you. And so I don't know. That's my two cents on that.
Total mic drop moment, like hallelujah and amen to that. That was so, so beautifully said. And that's something that I see a commonality amongst my clients and the people I work with is exactly what you said, is this idea, how do I first of all become worthy and whole and like see myself for who I am and the value and the purpose that I have, while also still not being at this point of arrival, still not being the Oprah or the Mel Robbins or that type of massive success, right, or whatever that looks like to each individual person. How do I normalize the becoming so that I don't think that something is wrong with me? Because that's something that society very much plays into. It. It like harps on totally. Us achievers. Totally. You aren't where you want to be. So something is wrong with you. You aren't doing enough. You aren't achieving enough. You aren't moving fast enough. And oh my goodness, there's yeah. this loop. So I would love to hear from you. What does that actually look like for you? Because you haven't arrived at a level of success and impact. I haven't arrived either. It's this beautiful journey that we get to embark on, because the more desires we have, the more evolution of our sense of self. I say, as we solidify our sense of self, we solidify our calling. Our calling becomes more clear. It becomes greater. We achieve more success. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is a beautiful byproduct of it, but it's not the point of proving. So what does that look like for you to own who you are, know your infinite value and worth, while embracing where you're going and who you're yeah. becoming?
Charlsie, the first thing I think needs to change in someone's belief system, if you want to experience peace in this dichotomy, is deciding that I never actually want to arrive. I have no, like, that's the last thing I want in my life is to arrive. If I arrive tomorrow to the ultimate of all I will ever become, the peak impact I will ever make, the biggest amount of success I'll ever claim in any domain of life, whether that's money or if it's, you know, number of people I've supported or the number of happiness points I've earned, whatever it is, then what? Like, my life wouldn't be over, but I've arrived. That sounds awful to me. Like, one of the things I really, really love is that life is endless. It's always increasing. There's abundance and there's so much more to explore and do. And maybe I'll arrive as far as I choose to go in one area, and I'll go start increasing and exploring something else. You know, those pivots in life that can be really powerful and fun. I don't want to arrive because that sounds like the worst possible thing. Anyway, so that's a starting point for me. Like, how do I actually live this? That was a big thing. At some point, I realized, oh, it's like Simon Sinek talks about, it's an infinite game. And at first, that's depressing and discouraging. Like, wait, I can never stop grinding. It's like, no. That's not what I said. It's not about can't stop grinding. You can stop grinding anytime you're ready to stop grinding. Like, that can stop right now. But the game of life, this sense of desire for increase, that doesn't end. And when you realize that, and then you say, actually, you know what? I want that. Sign me up for the fact that I always have an opportunity to keep growing and keep going. So that's the biggest shift I made in my life from coming out of college and having this sense of milestones and completion and promotion and hit this goal, hit that goal, etc. I still set goals. I still have a big vision. I'm a huge proponent of using those tools to help us progress and make a difference and change the world around us and help others. But as soon as I pulled that back and said, well, you know what? I'm going to continue growing for the rest of my life. And I love that. And I'm okay with that. And I invite that in. That just sets the tone for the whole day. So now, what does a day in the life look like? I start my day every day in meditation and prayer and just getting grounded in that infinite part of me, the part that has incredible worth and value no matter what I do. I start there. And I take care of my body because without a healthy body, nothing else matters. If you've ever been sick, you don't care about work anymore when you're sick. So I take care of my body. And then I go do the things that I've chosen to do. Yeah, it's a job. Yeah, it's work. Yeah, it's hard, of course. But in life, you get to choose your heart. Which heart do you want? Do you want to work hard at something that is really aligned with your purpose and passion? Or do you want to experience hardship because you aren't taking care of your body or your relationships or your mind? And those things can also be hard. It's like, pick which one. And I would rather pick the heart of increase and abundance every day.
Oh my goodness. Zach, I have been so blessed to have so many amazing guests on this show, and they're truly lifelong friends now of mine. I will also say, in this moment, at this time, this is one of my absolute favorite conversations I've ever had
Well,
the
thank you.
opportunity to have. So I'm just so grateful for this moment right now. I wanted to share
Wow.
that. I mean, everything you said, just absolute, oh my goodness, it is so good, and
Thank you.
it's
I
such a
received that.
testament of the inner work that you've done on yourself, because you wouldn't be able to be here and articulate it if it wasn't true for you. So it's a living embodiment, you know what I mean? So I definitely acknowledge you from that standpoint. And I do want to say, oh my goodness, so many things. I could go in so many directions, but the most important things I do want to say is, yes, I call it the minutia of building our dreams, of pursuing our calling, of figuring out even what that looks like. Maybe it looks like, for right now, we're working a job, and on the side, we're, writing a book or speaking or doing something like that. But the minutia of it, the day in and day out, that can it can be hard. It can be hard. But with hard can also come ease and
Yeah.
flow. And this joy. And I feel like, for me and my perspective and my journey, that that's really the difference, that I show up, to this podcast, and I get so much joy. It fills my soul to be
Yes.
here with you. And then right after I get off this recording and this conversation, I'm going to release a podcast episode from another. So it's like all these things. My to-do list is
Yeah.
a million miles long. We have infinite desires, which is amazing at the same time. And what I want to really call out and differentiate here is the energy and the feeling of how much, and what we talked about earlier, just how much it fills us and pours into us to do these quote unquote hard minutia, the daily grind things.
Well, life has all of these, two-sided coins, the yin and the yang, the dichotomies and paradoxes of life. And what you just described, with hard comes ease. Before we hit record, I told you my legs were hurting from CrossFit and working out this morning, right? Well, for 30 minutes, I threw some weights around and did a bunch of squats and I sweat like crazy with all these other crazy people in a CrossFit gym, and it was really hard. It was a hard that I chose and I enjoyed. Like, even though it was painful while I was working out, it's something that was aligned with my purpose and my goals. But guess what happens for the rest of the day and tomorrow? And I have this strength in my body. My legs feel strong underneath me. I can play sports. I never feel winded going up or down stairs. Like, the ease that I enjoy because I take care of my body for 30 minutes of hard, I get to have this incredible experience for the rest of the time, which is the majority. And I think, like your podcast example, when I launched my podcast, those first few episodes and some of the like getting out, like, can be hard, but then it gets a little easier every time. And then to your point, now, like, we're doing this conversation and it's just like, all of the hard to get that started. Now it's just, you're so fun. It's so easy. And so I really appreciate you bringing both sides to that. And I don't want people to think my mantra is just everything has to be hard. No. You choose your hard, but you enjoy the fact that by making those choices, you get to experience the flow and the ease as a benefit that comes with it. And so, yeah, I just want to double down on how true that statement is. I think it shows up everywhere in life. And where we really fall into trouble is when we try to avoid the hard. I don't want to work out. That's too hard. Well, guess what? Then you're going to be out of shape. Your body's create problems for you. Like if you don't take care of it, yeah, you skipped the hard upfront of exercise, but then what will come into your life is something hard that you didn't choose. And that's what I think people need to understand is you don't get the option of dodging all the hard things. That's not a life I've ever heard of. If anybody has that life, I want to hear about it. But I don't know that person, right? We either choose the hard that leads to the life we want, or we passively let life throw the hard things at us, and usually we don't want what we get.
Oh my goodness. You just have such a way. You're just, I don't know, it's your articulation or your deep understanding of this work. It's just so, I'm like, yes. That is
Well,
so
you've
good.
done the work, Charles. So you know what this is about. It's part of why you love it so much. And thank you. I'm glad it's clear. And clarity is sometimes the hardest part when you're doing inner work. And I'll just say that's why, for anyone listening, go hire Charles, because that's why you need a self-worth and confidence coach like her to support you in this journey. It's not easy to do it alone. And in many cases, I would say you can't do it alone. And don't try. Blind spots are called blind spots for a reason, Charlsey, right? We won't see it no matter how hard we look. So go hire Charlsey if you're hearing this and you want help doing this kind of inner work, because she can help you to get there faster. It's worth every minute, every penny to go get that support.
Well, just thank you for tooting my horn. I so appreciate that. I am 100,000% biased, but yes, this work is the work. And a great example of that is actually something you just said in your workout analogy of when, okay, intellectually, we know that working out is good for us. We know that it's going to make us stronger, it's going to make us healthier. Intellectually, we know that, but the pillow can be calling our name. It can be a rainy day. You know, all of these things. Oh, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. And admittedly, I'm kind of in this boat because I didn't do yoga yesterday. And so today I'm like, I don't know how I want to do yoga. I have so many things to do. But anyways, so intellectually we can know these things, but when we don't do the hard of something that truly lifts us up and is in full service of us, then it's not just physically not doing it. We also deprive ourselves of the joy, of the satisfaction, of the inner just good feelings about who we are and that, and feeling confident about ourselves, you know, after a good hard leg day. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. If somebody doesn't like the word hard, the other phrase I use all the time is just it's getting out of your comfort zone. Everybody thinks comfort is something worth pursuing, but for me, I look at it the other way. Inside my comfort zone is where all my limitations are found. And I don't want to live there. I'm not seeking comfortable in life. I'm seeking success and impact and happiness and joy and freedom and peace. And you don't find that by just staying in your comfort zone. So maybe that'll resonate differently for someone. It's like, it doesn't have to be like hard work, like lifting weights, all the time, or hard in the sense of go learn calculus, but it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be new. It's going to be something that challenges you.
Oh,
Get out of the comfort
so
zone.
go good. Thank you for adding that on. And for my own satisfaction, if I were just a listener, which of course I'm going to listen back to this conversation, but I would just love to hear. So we talked about where Zach 1.0 was with the maxing out your intellectual muscles, as you say, and climbing the corporate ladder and getting on to the bigger salary and stuff like that. Where is the Zach 2.0? What does that look like? Still ambitious, still a high achiever, still doing
Yeah.
amazing things in this world. What does that look like?
Well, You heard about rock bottom, and again, the great news is the happy ending to this story is I did come out of that time, worked with my coach, my therapist, and I've had a coach ever since. I've never not had one since that time. I believe in it so wholeheartedly. And my career actually exploded after that. I was more balanced, more, just looking at my whole life in a new way. I got remarried to my now wife, Johanna, who's just the most amazing woman in the world. I has had 5 promotions in 5 years, and I got to where my career was just awesome. But in that process, I looked around me and I saw how many other leaders in technology and engineering were falling into the same traps that I had fallen into, didn't have that inner work, in front of them to work on, or somebody to support them in it. And they were burning out like crazy. We just went through the COVID-19 pandemic, but I think burnout is the unspoken pandemic. It's like it's happening all the time. People are suffering. And so I really got connected to this calling of how do I take everything I went through and that I discovered in the process of healing and growing through that and turn that into something that can help these engineering leaders to not make the same mistakes, or if they already have made those mistakes, to recover quickly and get back on track. And so I left my career, which was, moving up and to the right. I really was in a great place and took that leap to start my own business, to build a coaching organization called the Oasis of Courage. And we named it that because at the end of the day, fear is the enemy, and fear holds you back from becoming who you are capable of becoming. And you need to get into a community and get into coaching to help you build courage to face that fear in your life. And now we help engineering leaders around the world to create the career of their dreams. We still want success, but knowing that the career of your dreams only exists inside the context of the life of your dreams. And so we look at this as a whole life conversation and help them do that inner work. And, the career results always come with it, which is the really fun part.
Oh my goodness. That is so, like I was saying, it's so satisfying to hear where you are now. And it's also such a testament to the things that we're called to. A lot of times they don't necessarily make sense. Like you went to college for mechanical engineering. I knew at 14 that I wanted to go to college and get my bachelor's in psychology, and then I went to get my master's in psychology. And so I didn't really know why, but we're always divinely guided and supported. So even in the burnout and kind of low point of the first element of your career, and then the second point of getting to this high spot, all of those were not only in support and service of you, but they also give you a beautiful foundation to help other engineers and to be able, you would not be able to pour into them in the same aspect if you had not gone through what you've gone through. So it, and then like you were called to this. So it's not like you were just, you saw it as a calling just out of nowhere, right? But there has been a trail and a beautiful path. And everything has been linked and connected for a reason and a bigger purpose. And I know that I have chills right now. So this is such a divine conversation. I know that I am so on target and so on point here that you are just getting started. And you are
Thank you.
going to continue making this massive impact in the engineering world. And I'm so grateful for people like you who are called to things like that because there is no way in hell I would even be able to have one conversation about it. So we're uniquely called to the things that we're called to for a reason, and you are fully equipped to bring about the change in this world, and you are truly
Thank you.
being the change of this world. You're not just doing it, you're being it. So, Zach, it is such an honor to now be able to call you friend. I am so grateful to have had you on the show, and I'm just excited to witness your journey.
I receive all of that. I'm just gonna let that go right into my heart, and I'm with you. I am very excited to see where this work goes, and there's no shortage of demand of people who are struggling to answer these questions and get their life, into a place that they love, truly wake up happy and fulfilled, moving towards the success that that achiever inside them wants. And so I'm excited too. Charles, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And that wraps up another insightful episode of Seeing Your Inner Brilliance. Thank you so much for joining me today as Zach and I explored the journey of overcoming the addiction to achievement and finding true fulfillment in our productivity. Yes, be productive, be productive, be productive. Go after the desires of your heart by any means. Get as many checklists or check marks as possible on your checklist, but doing it in a way that is supportive of yourself so that you can work with yourself rather than against yourself. Remember, you are not alone on this journey. My deepest desire is to support you every step of the way, which is why I've created 8 programs so far to meet you where you are, and as Zach said, accelerate you to where you want to go. If you found value in today's episode, or if you have any questions, I'd love to hear from you. Feel free to email me. My email is support@charlesleechildress.com, or shoot me a DM on Instagram. Your feedback means the world to me, and I'm here to support you in any way I can. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review if you haven't already. Your support helps us reach more dreamers and doers like yourself who are on their journey to embracing their inner brilliance. Until next time, remember to prioritize your well-being, find joy in the journey, and keep striving for your dreams. You've got this.